session would be nice to know.
All right, this next session is called New Discoveries in Jazz and Literary Recordings, and we have some very, very interesting folks here. The first talk is going to be on Rosetta Writes, and that will be given by a young lady to my right, Ava Lawrence, who teaches music at Northeastern University, specializing in music industry. Prior to education, she worked for a number of entertainment companies, including Virgin Records, GRP Records, Modern Records, New World Entertainment, and TVT Records / TVT Music. Let's put our hands together for Ms. Ava Lawrence.
Hi, can everybody hear me okay? Kind of short, no? Is that better? Okay. I just wanted to say thank you for having me, this is great. And I spend a lot of time with Rosetta, interviewing her, talking to her over the phone, we email with each other, sometimes we instant message with each other, and I'm very pleased to be able to share some of her life with you. Where are all the women? This is the question that Rosetta Writes has been answering for nearly 30 years. Although her label Rosetta Records is no longer operational, at the age of 80, Rosetta is still answering questions for scholars, journalists, historians, and music critics, among others from all over the world, who often call in her expertise. Writes is one of the leading experts on female blues and jazz artists originating in early 1920s through the 1950s. Writes did not play an instrument growing up. She grew up dancing the jitterbug to the music on the Hit Parade. Listening to the Hit Parade Saturday nights on the radio is how her love of music started. Although music was such an important part of her life as a young woman in the 1940s, Writes did not feel the freedom to choose music at the store and buy it for herself. In a conversation with Writes, she stated, "For some reason, the men own the music. Boyfriends would introduce her to new music. They would say, 'Oh, you gotta hear this.' At the time, it never occurred to Writes that she could buy any 78 she wanted. She coincidentally dated men who shared her interest in jazz. Years later, she would look back at this and recall how unbelievable it was for a woman not to feel as though she could buy a record from a store. In the early 1940s, Writes was paying her own way through the University of Wisconsin, majoring in sociology. A year shy of graduation, she decided she had outlived her undergraduate experience. Upon leaving the university prior to graduation, she went to where she had always known she should be, Greenwich Village. In New York, Writes had various careers. Along with music, books were of great interest to her. When she first arrived in the city in 1946, she spent time at the Gotham Book Mart. Frances Steloff, the owner, took an interest in Writes and hired her to work at the store. After about a year and a half working for Steloff on 47th Street, Writes decided to open up her own bookstore. She opened the Four Season Bookshop on Greenwich Street in the Village. More than a year had passed, and the bookstore reached a certain level of success that made it difficult for one person to manage, so Writes decided it was time to sell. After selling her bookstore for profit, she returned to the Gotham Book Mart at Steloff's request for another year. Between owning the bookstore in the late 1940s, early 1950s, and starting Rosetta Records in the late 1970s, Writes also started a greeting card business, attended the New York Institute of Finance to become a stockbroker, which she did in the late 60s, manager of the classifieds department at the Village Voice, as well as a writer. According to a 1980 article in the New York Times, Rosetta was among the first to cover the loft jazz scene for the Village Voice in the early 1970s. She also wrote a mushroom cookbook that was published in 1965 and a book on menopause published in 1977. She's very diverse. Throughout the years, Rosetta would continue to listen to music and research female jazz and blues musicians. As a single mother working all day, coming home to three kids who needed dinner and help with their homework, Rosetta would sit back and lose herself in the music. She would focus on what the women had to say. These women were of great comfort. When her friends would visit, she would share the music with them. Usually they would go home with a tape of what they'd heard. This was the beginning of Rosetta Records. Her friends loved the music. Rosetta figured other women might also be interested in this type of music. According to noted music historian Judith Tick, in the 1970s, the revival of feminism produced an explosion of activity in revisionist history and a new discipline initially named women's studies. In her own words, Rosetta personalized the spirit of the times. In the early 70s, at the beginning of the women's movement, that's the crucial point, women were looking for women in all the disciplines. Where were the women? Were there women? Since I'd been a jazz buff all my life, why is jazz a male domain? It was my question. Where were the women? Weren't women interested or weren't they involved? So I started hunting about and looking for women. But were they only vocalists? Who were they? What were they singing about? Turns out they were there all the time. They just weren't given attention or considered important. Rosetta Records was not the only music company from the 70s and 80s that grew out of the women's movement. Leonarda, Lady Slipper, and Olivia Records were all companies started by women that focused on women in music. These music companies are a reflection of those times. Using proceeds from her writings and borrowing $10,000 from a few female friends, which she paid back, in the late 1970s, Rosetta started to put the business together. She'd been researching the women, their culture, and their music all along. It was just the business part of the equation that she now spent time developing. She spent a couple of years looking into manufacturing, distribution, negotiating the rights, mastering production, and general business strategies for the music industry. Growing up in a Jewish family in Utica, New York, Rosetta was one of six siblings who worked in the family bakery. Rosetta can remember at the age of eight learning general business practices that would help her throughout her life. The day the rye bread was freshly baked, it was wrapped in white paper tied with a string. A second day rye bread was wrapped in one sheet of newspaper folded over to cover the loaf. This very basic concept was something that Rosetta felt separated her from other entrepreneurs. She had a good business sense that was ingrained in her as a child in the family bakery. Nothing fancy, just plain business. Starting Rosetta Records was the beginning of a new career. Rosetta turned her passion into her life's work. The company's logo was a clear sign that a woman was in charge. Rosetta took Pan, the Greek god of music, and changed the head to a woman playing a horn. Along with releasing music that had not been widely heard for decades, she also set out to expand one's knowledge of the women and their music. Rosetta did her best to meticulously research each woman's history in order to correctly document their lives. Along with these details, Rosetta also included many photographs of the women. The liner notes were very extensive. Even now, she writes a book about these women. She corrects the information that was incorrectly listed in her liner notes. Of course, she did not use incorrect information on purpose, but sometimes a source might not have been as reliable as one might have thought. In 1980, Rosetta Records released its first album entitled Mean Mother's Independent Blues Volume 1. According to the Rosetta Records catalog, this was the first in the Women's Heritage series presents a new view of the blues singers, fresh, feisty, and formidable, not victims. This is how Rosetta describes the release. It focused on the independent women's blues and presented a new view of blues singers as independent, spirited, and strong, not as victims as was the general thought. The Pulitzer Prize-winning author Alice Walker stated in a New York Times article from 1984, "When I started working on The Color Purple, I was listening to a lot of Bessie Smith, Ma Rainey, the women on the Mean Mothers album. She loved how the women dealt with sexuality. They showed you had a whole self, and you were not to succumb to being somebody else's, as they would say, play toy." Rosetta Records' second release was Women's Railroad Blues. This is a solid example of how Rosetta revisits history. The singers represented on this release demonstrated a new perspective of the railroad that had long been ignored. In the 20s, men rode the trains north for better jobs. The lyrics on this album communicate a different view of history, the original notion being that trains took the men up north to freedom and an opportunity for financial prosperity, when in fact the trains robbed the women of their men. According to the notes in the Rosetta Records catalog, this women's history appears for the first time in these liner notes. Rosetta rescued important historical recordings of female vocalist and trumpeter Valeda Snow. They are brought together on an album entitled Hot Snow. If she had not retrieved these recordings, they would probably have been lost forever. Snow is a skilled musician, dancer, composer, conductor, producer, and singer. The liner notes explain in great detail the life history of this musician. Another important collection of music that Rosetta released on her label was Jailhouse Blues, a cappella songs from Mississippi Parchman Penitentiary. The Mississippi Arts Commission awarded Rosetta a contract to produce the album. According to the Rosetta Records catalog, this is the first time women's prison songs have been put on a record in a collection. The record was produced under the auspices of the Mississippi Department of Archives and History and has been placed on the selected list by the American Folklife Center Library of Congress. It's a source record illuminating many origins of American music. The songs on this record were recorded over a three-year period beginning in 1936 by Herbert Halpert and John Lomax, field workers from the Library of Congress. Rosetta was also instrumental in bringing the International Sweethearts of Rhythm back from obscurity and to an audience outside of jazz circles. The Wall Street Journal published an article praising the group and Rosetta's efforts to preserve history. Rosetta went to great lengths to research the women. Part of the International Sweethearts of Rhythm album was taken from an Armed Forces radio service broadcast of 1945. Not only did Rosetta produce records, but she also produced films. Rosetta, along with her daughter Rebecca, co-produced a documentary on the International Sweethearts of Rhythm that included interviews with six original members of the group. In addition to the International Sweethearts of Rhythm video, Rosetta also produced a video called Shouters and Wailers. Rosetta was a collector of archival film footage. This collection of rare footage is Rosetta's tribute to women's blues singers such as Bessie Smith, Billie Holiday, Ida Cox, Ethel Waters, and Josephine Baker, among others. The other video that Rosetta assembled was Jazz Women 1932 to 1952, Four Mothers Volume 1. This collection of footage includes performances by Sister Rosetta Thorpe, Helen Humes, Ida Cox, Maxine Sullivan, and Nina Mae McKinney. It often took Rosetta 2 to 4 years to put a record together. It was very difficult to locate enough material to complete an LP. Not only was it challenging to find recordings, there were often technical problems with these recordings themselves. Rosetta's favorite part of her company was spending time with the recordings and cleaning them up to create a final master. She loved spending time in the studio with the music. Rosetta Records was a one-woman show. She did everything herself in order to make sure it was all done correctly. Rosetta researched the women, wrote the liner notes, negotiated the rights, paid the royalties, designed the packaging, mastered the records, created the concept, and arranged for sales and distribution. Rosetta Records worked with a manufacturer in Hopog, Long Island, Rounder Records in Cambridge, Mass., and City Hall in San Rafael, California, were East and West Coast distributors. She also had a distributor in Birmingham, England. In addition to being a record label owner and music historian, Rosetta was also a concert producer and lecturer. George Wein agreed to co-produce a concert with Rosetta after she sent him a 14-page proposal. She brought the women and their music to Avery Fisher Hall, Lincoln Center, in June of 1980 as part of the Newport Jazz Festival. Carmen McRae read from a script written by Rosetta. The evening was called Blues is a Woman, and the performance that evening included Sippy Wallace, Willie Mae Thornton, Adelaide Hall, Coco Taylor, Linda Hopkins, and Beulah Bryant, and Nell Carter. In July of 1981, Rosetta teamed up with George Wein once again to co-produce two concerts as part of the Newport Jazz Festival. The first concert, Women Blow Their Own Horns, included Melba Liston and Marian McPartland. The second concert, Wild Women Don't Have the Blues, featured Nell Carter, Linda Hopkins, and Sippy Wallace. Rosetta could now add co-producing concerts at Carnegie Hall and the Hollywood Bowl to her long list of accomplishments. She visited various institutions to present her films and to lecture about the women. She called her program Shouters and Wailers. These lectures helped fund the record label's activities. It has been documented that she appeared at the Berklee Performance Center in Boston, Alice Tully Hall as part of the New York Film Festival, and the Westchester Conservatory of Music. Wrights recalls speaking at a number of universities, including Harvard, Princeton, Cornell, and Brown. She's also lectured at the Detroit Public Library, the International Festival of Women's Films in Toronto, Women's Jazz Festival in Kansas City, Landmark Theater in Syracuse, New York, and international festivals along with the Smithsonian. The day-long symposium at the Smithsonian Institute entitled Women in Blues took place on March 9, 1985 and was presented as part of the National Museum of American History's Saturday afternoon series and the program in Black American Culture. Rosetta's presentation was part of this program, and it was called The Legacy of Black Women Blues Singers on Film. Exhibiting her work at the Smithsonian was an important event for Rosetta. She had terrible butterflies in her stomach right before it was her turn to deliver her presentation. In a conversation with Wrights, she stated, "I figured I've got to do something the minute I get up on stage to reassure these women that I'm okay. That how dare I, you know?" Rosetta was referring to the fact that she had become an expert in a culture that was far from her own. It was very important to her to be accepted by the black women sitting in the room. Wrights describes her opening words and the audience's reaction. "Many people have asked me how I became so interested in women singing the blues to make it my life's work. My three heroes in my life are Emily Dickinson, Bessie Smith, and Eleanor Roosevelt. You could hear some sigh of relief or something, but what is she talking about? They never heard Bessie Smith linked up with Emily Dickinson or Eleanor Roosevelt before. So everyone looked up and took notice. Maybe this woman has something to say. The reason that they're my heroes is each one of these women in her own way used improvisation in her life, and I admire improvisation very much. Oh well, you could hear people breathing easier." Rosetta worked very hard promoting Bessie Smith to be inducted into the National Women's Hall of Fame and her image to be on a United States postage stamp. Rosetta badgered the Hall of Fame for 4 years and the Postal Service for 10 years, but both goals were accomplished. In 1984, Bessie Smith was inducted into the National Women's Hall of Fame. In 1994, she was honored with her image on a postage stamp, and Rosetta was invited to speak at the festivities on the first day of sale in Smith's hometown of Chattanooga, Tennessee. Rosetta truly believed in the music. She often wondered what her life would have been like if she had heard these songs growing up. In a conversation, Rosetta stated, "I know when I grew up in upstate New York as a young girl, if I had heard some of the songs played on the radio, I would have had many different attitudes than I did have. because I would have heard and learned that there were some women in this country who spoke honestly, and they spoke in a way that was very different than when I had considered the proper way to behave and speak. Rosetta states that she was a feminist. The songs affirmed her thoughts and actions. Rosetta identifies very strongly with Bessie Smith's lyrics, "Ain't gonna marry, ain't gonna settle down, I'm a young girl and I ain't done running around." It was such a different train of thought from what Rosetta was taught growing up by her family. She found these songs very liberating. When one talks to Rosetta, one finds song lyrics a part of her daily vernacular. These songs are a part of her everyday life. 18 years later, Rosetta decided to close shop. The business was changing. CDs were becoming a more common configuration, and CD manufacturers were not as accommodating as the old LP and cassette manufacturers. Instead of being able to drop ship from the manufacturer, Rosetta had to keep all the manufactured CDs in her Chelsea apartment, or rent warehouse space. So she rented warehouse space. Large orders would be drop shipped right from the factory, but smaller orders Rosetta filled herself. Since a large part of her business was mail order, Rosetta made many trips to the warehouse and then to the post office. This was a big hassle because Rosetta did not own a car and could not carry everything alone. She had to wait for her daughter to help her. Rosetta looked into office space and hiring a staff, but she decided that she did not want to bother doing business at that level. Along with the issues surrounding the new configuration, Rosetta said, "I had lived the experience through." Along the way, Rosetta picked up a few awards and grants. She was awarded the Indie Award in 1985 by the National Association of Independent Record Dealers for her Lil Green release in the category of historical releases. She was given a Distinguished Service Award in 1989 by the Harlem School of the Arts. Rosetta was honored as one of the first women to receive a Wonder Woman Award. The Wonder Woman Award was initiated by Warner Communications in 1981. It awarded $7,500 to women over the age of 40 who have shown a potential for significant work. Rosetta received a grant from the Thanks to Be Grandmother Winifred Foundation, a financial award given to programs that have positive effects on the well-being of women 54 or older. She was awarded this grant to work on her book about women in jazz and blues. Wrights has been an important force in bringing to light these forgotten women of music. Without the work of Rosetta Wrights, the early women of jazz and blues would possibly be lost. Many people write about these women, but very few hunt down their recordings, research the history, culture, and stories that complement the music, and release the music and the information to the public. Thank you. Any questions? No?
Okay. Thank you, Emma.